welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name is Matt Emmert. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. It is a new year, Tim.
2021.
2021. I gotta say, I'm not one of those people that's like, hey, it's 2021, which means everything's better and life's great. Yay!
I do like New Year's. That's one of my favorites. But this year, I can honestly say I did absolutely nothing.
Oh, didn't you say, wait, because we talked about this, because Tim and I do talk off the podcast.
I only talk to Matt on the air. It's like
only now.
Like Paris and Nicole.
the simple life.
Right, the simple
good life.
The simple life. Wait, only when the cameras roll will I acknowledge your existence.
We don't ever talk outside of this. No, didn't you say you fell asleep at 10:30?
Listen, I didn't want you to talk about that.
Grandpa!
I know, well, listen,
Look.
I was watching The Karate Kid.
You were?
Yeah.
You mean getting ready for Cobra Kai, which, by
no,
the way,
I absolutely did nothing. That's it's just sheer coincidence.
Well, I love Cobra Kai along with most of the public, I think, because it's doing really well. And they just released season 3 on Netflix.
I know. And you know what's crazy? You made me watch all the way up until the Elizabeth Shue episode. You're like, good night. Bye.
Well, yeah, we had Tim over and we were going to binge Cobra Kai. I knew he didn't really care that much, but Jacob and I did. And Elizabeth Shue.
That's
sorry.
All I cared about.
Spoiler alert.
That's it.
Comes back and makes a surprise appearance. Well, not even appearance. She has like a 2-episode arc in episodes 9 and 10. And we had Tim over. We watched episodes 1 through 8. And everyone like, we're going to bed. Good night.
And then you watched him after I left.
We did because, Tim, we all have Netflix and you can watch. Also, we just couldn't wait. We were like,
you're like, let's send Tim
wait.
Home and watch it without him.
It was really good. But this podcast is not about Cobra Kai.
You know, I'm going to make it about Cobra Kai and Elizabeth Shue's career. Okay, she started in the movie Link.
Elizabeth Shue time. Happy Shue time. Oh.
She's in Soap Dish.
Happy Shue. Well, but Tim, I think we had talked about, but did you have any resolutions for 2021?
Yes, I did. To work out more.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about this on the Patreon, the bonus episode.
Oh, we did? Okay. Well,
which, by the way, if you'd like to hear,
yeah,
you can sign up at www.patreon.com/happyhorrortime.
Yeah, and it's my best work.
Well, we did like a little holiday special on these two crazy horror holiday specials, and we did talk about resolutions, but tell our general public.
Okay, the general public, this is, I said, I'm not going to eat like junk food in the sense like a Kit Kat. But, like, here's where I've messed it all up. Like, I'll have a sandwich with, like, Sara Lee bread.
Or, like, that butter popcorn we
right.
had.
Butter popcorn, fine. But as long as it's not, it's not a treat food. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing.
So, like, more like sweets and stuff,
sweets.
Right?
I'm just trying to steer clear of sweets, and I'm trying to do, just work out, like, 30 minutes a day every day.
Whoa. Well, that's a lot. I mean, I like to start small. I didn't have any resolutions. I have like goals for the year, you know?
That's good.
I don't like to have resolutions. Like I want, we want to move and get a bigger place.
Braggers.
I would like to keep moving forward with this podcast.
Yes.
Getting more and more interviews, getting more listeners. So if you like what you're listening to, please
yes.
tell your friend. And what is it? Like something and subscribe. What is it like?
Lick and subscribe.
I think it's definitely like, lick, and subscribe. That's what you do on podcasts.
That's right.
No,
and let me just say this. I didn't stay up all night because I was by myself. I was literally by myself. I didn't have a COVID
kiss. I know,
kiss.
I felt bad. We were...
No, it's not your fault.
Well, because we were up in Northern California with my best friend and his wife. We got COVID tests before we went, and so did they, so we did it nice and safely. But we went to this, like... my best friend's wife has a cabin, or her family has a cabin in Lake Tahoe.
And by the way, she's a genius.
Because she thinks Tim looks like Justin Hartley from This Is Us. I told Tim she's legally blind.
I agree with everything. I love her.
Yes. Well, we went to her family's cabin in Lake Tahoe, and it was in the snow, and it was beautiful, and we drank, and we sang, and we sang, and we drank, and we played board game, and we played Yahtzee.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
I know. As for Tim, well, Tim, if we were down here, we would have definitely had you here.
It's fine if my pod people want to leave.
Oh, well, look,
no,
happy.
You know what?
I'm just imagining happy
I was
new
fine.
Year.
I was fine. Because let me say, in that situation, I would have been the fifth wheel. And you know what happens? Like, Megan would have been hot for me.
Everyone.
Megan's husband would have been hot for me. Your boyfriend. Like, it's like too much pressure at midnight.
I don't, most people can't contain themselves when they're around Tim. It's just too right. much sexy.
Too much sexy. I get it.
But if we, you know, to move to what we're going to discuss today,
yeah.
we have two movies that that unfortunately came out in 2020. They are so old.
Ugh.
No, but they came out. Both of them came out in the
final month.
And in the second half of the final month. They came out in the second half of December. And they're not the usual movies Tim and I would watch, I'd say, right? I'd say
both of these films are made for heterosexual men.
Heterosexual men, just like Tim and I.
Yeah.
Big, brawny, heterosexual men.
Like, who are these movies made for? I really want to know.
They're definitely not quote unquote chick flicks. I don't even know if you can say that anymore because that's very like heteronormative. Like, but they definitely, I would say, appeal more to straight men. Yes. Yeah. But
I'm glad we watched them.
But yeah, and we watched them. But you know, I mean, if you start saying like any movie, like, that's well, true. Then it's like, do romantic comedies? Like, I like romantic comedies. I'm not, you know, maybe I don't know. I am the audience.
I've never seen Love Actually.
I've only seen it once, and I saw it years after it came
Denise
out.
Denise Richards is in it.
You love Denise Richards.
I do. I'm always trying to squeeze her in at all my conversations. Denise I'm like, Richards. Good morning, Denise Richards.
Denise Richards, if you're listening, which I'm 100% sure you're not.
She loves podcasts.
We want to interview you about Wild Things and...
Valentine.
And Val... God, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm having carbonated.
Burping.
I'm having a carbonated drink and I am burping up a storm. And with that said, let's get to our first movie,
yeah.
Tim. The first movie that we are going to talk about is called Hunter Hunter.
Starring two guys that you may remember. Devon Sawa.
Devon Sawa. He's French.
He's from Final Destination.
He's. I think that's Final Destination.
Yeah, and
he was also in Idle Hands. He was also in what was that movie with Christina Ricci and the girl? Now and Then, when they're the kids and
Casper?
Then they're adults.
Was he in Casper?
I think he was in Casper also.
Wow.
But I mean, remember Now and Then when they were like young and then they were all
Melanie
and they're
Griffith,
like
Demi Moore
and like is it in his eye? Oh wait,
that's
no, that's
Mermaids.
Oh okay, whatever. Well, it stars Devon Sawa and Nick Stahl. Yeah. Who you may
Terminator 3 Claire Danes.
You may remember from well that and he was in Bully, which was like a pretty
a tough movie.
Scary, tough movie. But Nick Stahl was also in he's been in a lot of like independent horror movies. I can't remember any names.
That's okay.
But what's funny is that the main star, the woman, I didn't know who she was but her
excellent.
Name is Camille Sullivan.
Camille Grammer from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Camille Grammer. But anyway, so to set up Hunter Hunter, and it's very masculine plot.
There's not much setup.
Well, there isn't much setup, but it is called Hunter Hunter, as in twice. I'm not just repeating myself.
Hunter Hunter.
And we'll explain why, or I'll tell you why I think it's called that. So at the beginning, it's like this family. It's him, his wife, and his daughter, and they're living where? In the middle of nowhere.
And like, I don't think we ever found out what year it is. Do we know?
I thought it was just modern day, but because they're living in like the wilderness, they just don't have no it was because remember they did cell phone calls, the cops called each other.
Are you sure? Or weren't there just
I thought
talkies?
Or maybe they did. Yeah, you're right. Okay,
because, I mean, there's just only one thing that made me think it's from the 80s is when one of the characters had headphones.
Okay,
they were like
totally right. Timing ambiguous. But when we say in the middle of nowhere, again, we don't mean like rural, like we mean wilderness. I mean I'm talking cabin, not even in the woods, like cabin in the effing wilderness.
We're talking, but you know, I will say this, that it, like where did they shower, where did they poo?
I mean, luckily we didn't see that, but what you do see a lot of is you see that their occupation, they hunt and skin animals and sell the fur. So like that's what they're doing with their lives. So like they are hunters.
Right. So the mom takes it into like a 7-Eleven, and like she's trying to get money for him. And the guy's like, oh, these aren't that great. And so she goes back to the husband and they're like, we need to get some more.
Oh, they start, well, and the wife starts questioning their, like, there's a lot of exposition at the beginning, like, because they're establishing that, like, he's a hunter, and you can tell that he wants to, like, pass this on
it's
to the
like,
daughter.
It's like Little House on the Prairie times, like...
It isn't, but Devon Sawa looks like, this isn't
rugged.
Like the, this isn't like Twinkie Devon Sawa from Final
Does
Destination.
Does he look like me right now?
Depends. Like, you as Justin Hartley to Legally Blind, or you as reality?
Like... How dare you? I haven't shaved since December, and I am rustic looking.
Tim normally looks twinky, and he looks slightly rustic now.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I've seen you more rustic, though, when you've waited. When you've waited longer to shave, you know?
This is pretty bad. I could cut all this and get a mustache. Anyway, the movie.
And look, enough about me. No. So, enough about
my beautiful face.
Yes, exactly. Well, his wife is, like, doubting their lifestyle, which I think any sane person would, because they live in the middle of nowhere. They hunt things for a living, that's all. But the whole underlying theme of this is that Devon Sawa notices or thinks that there is some wolf that's around that's like hunting stuff.
I thought the whole movie was going to be about hunting this wolf.
I actually thought the movie was like an animal beast type of thing.
Like,
but
hunting this poor family.
Well, yeah, that's not what you thought. But that's what you think at the beginning. And I would say the first half is kind of slow. I'm going to just venture and say that.
But I was kind of interested about just seeing how people live without cell phones and exactly. Television.
Something that's been very foreign to us for a really long time.
I know.
Well, but so he's going around and he's hunting, but he knows there's a wolf out there, and he wants to go and get this wolf, and he thinks it's endangering his family and everything, and he's very set on it.
He lets his daughter go once, or which is weird to me.
But a lot of times you'd only see a wolf one time. The mom and daughter go to venture off somewhere, and there's a wolf that like comes up to them. And that's the only time. And I remember thinking, and we'll get to why it wasn't really about the wolf later, but like I remember thinking that just looks like a normal wolf. Like, yeah, they're describing it like a
big dog.
Yeah, and wasn't that scary, but that's the only time you see a wolf. But when Devon Sawa finally goes out on his own little like trek, right? Yeah. And he goes and he finds in the middle of nowhere, further from his place, this like big area full of dead human bodies, and not like
it was just women, right?
Oh yes it was, you're right it was women, but not like you're thinking like eaten by a wolf, as in like one was tied up,
right? And let me just say this, whoever the actress was that was tied up against that tree, bravo. I mean she was not moving at all
because she was showing her boobies. You can see side boob, but they're all dead. But again, you can tell as an audience member that this wasn't the result of like an animal. Yeah. This obviously a human had killed them.
Wolves can't tie up people.
They can't.
No.
Liar. Then you. We're not talking to the same wolves. I am sorry. No. So you know that, okay, something else is going on here. Maybe that's why.
It was very Silence of the Lambs. I think I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is that he doesn't tell his wife like over walkie-talkie. You start to realize that maybe he kind of knew this whole time he was going after something that wasn't a wolf. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, I started to get the idea. I'm like, is he now Jodie Foster?
You know what he is, Matt?
What?
A hunter.
He's not just a hunter. He's a hunter.
Right.
So, okay. So he's going after whatever killed these women, and it's obviously a person, not a wolf. And then he kind of disappears, and his wife and daughter don't hear from him for a while.
And I will say this, the daughter and the mother are so well groomed, and like, you know what I mean, like their hair looks good, their sweaters look great,
like they don't look like mountain people.
They don't look like mountain people.
Well,
and
I know it's a movie,
but they're really glossy.
And the truth is, as rustic as we said Devon Sawa is, he's still a good looking guy. So meaning like
I thought he looked like a mountain person.
Yes, he had a lot of facial and stuff, but again, he's still like, if you'd cleaned him up a little, he'd still be hot, right?
I don't know. I mean, usually I would say it's a pandemic, I'm hot for him, but you know what? He was annoying me.
I used to think he was, I thought he was cute in Final Destination and all those
movies.
Really,
he was a kid.
He's playing a teen. I think he was like 21, but that's I'm his age or younger, I think. I think I'm younger than him.
He is my age, I think.
Okay, then I'm younger than him. What I'm saying is I can, if a teenager can think another teenager's hot.
That is true.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so he disappears for a while, and then like the moms reports it to these cops, remember, who like go out looking.
They're very passive. They're kind of like, oh, that's not in our jurisdiction, or they say something lame.
Exactly.
Like,
because
they're like, they're like too high in the mountain or something.
Something like that. I don't know. Cops.
But
we're forgetting Nick Stahl's big entrance. So like after Devon Sawa disappears, randomly one night, the wife and daughter who are by themselves now in this cabin, they find outside at night an injured man, Nick Stahl, who says, oh my God, I was attacked by this wolf, whatever.
She drags him back to the cabin and nurses him back to health. Oh, and there's a real close-up of a stitch on his leg.
Oh, yeah. There were some, like, injuries. And his leg is all messed up, and you think it's this wolf that's being hunted. So she's
like, let's drag him. And I'm like, doesn't she have a car?
I don't know if she, or did he, oh, no. Oh, yeah, she did have the car. But yeah, they dragged him in. But they're very nice, and they're nursing him back to health and whatever. And I guess we're getting closer to the ending, because now you're wondering.
Because you know what? We are getting close to the ending, because this movie did not have
that much to it.
It had nothing to, I mean, it was all just like, look at these mountain people, look how hard their lifestyle is. And then like, okay, so is the husband the killer?
Well, you're wondering, okay, where is Devon Sawa? What happened to those women in the forest, and who the hell is Nick Stahl? But anyway, as we're getting close to the end, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, but the wife I know goes out and she finally finds Devon Sawa dead. And like, I think he was like blunt force to his head, right? Yeah, like, meaning it wasn't a wolf.
Right. Not, definitely not a wolf.
And she, I think, doesn't she, starts to put it together.
Like, that the guy that killed my husband is the guy we're nursing at our cabin.
Exactly. Like, meaning that Devon Sawa has been missing because he was murdered by the guy that they are helping. And meaning whatever.
And he's left at home with their daughter.
Yes. And whatever, and also whatever, like, injury he had that he said was the wolf was probably just inflicted from Devon Sawa fighting with
them. Oh, yeah. I think, but see, these are scenes we did not see as the viewer.
Yeah, we didn't see anything between Devon Sawa and Nick Stahl, but you kind of put it together and you start to realize, okay, dead women in the forest, Devon Sawa's dead, like, there's no wolf. Yeah. Like, or sorry, there's wolves, but there's no, like, big king wolf like the beginning movie makes you think. It's actually a serial killer.
Yeah, and the serial killer is Nick Stahl. He's in the cabin with the young daughter.
Yes, and the wife comes back and doesn't she get knocked out? Like, she has a big fight with him and she gets knocked out.
Right. Does he get to the daughter? Oh, we don't know.
Oh, no, we don't know. She doesn't, but she has a big altercation with him. He knocks her out, and it's so funny. He changes from, he was like the nice, like, thank you so much for helping me, switches to suddenly he's just a complete asshole killer. Yeah. You know, knocks her out. When she wakes up, that's when she realizes, she goes in, and luckily they don't show it, she sees that her daughter's been
but
murdered.
You know what,
by
I will say this is, you know, they always say the scariest thing is in your mind.
You're right. And you so just see the mom's reaction,
screaming in horror after she opens the door to her daughter's room in the cabin.
And yeah,
it's effective.
And as a viewer, having seen what happened to all these other girls being tied up, you figure she probably was like raped or tortured. Something awful probably happened to this daughter.
Earlier in the movie, like, the daughter teaches the mom, she goes, oh, this is the way dad taught me. It was like, it was a baby deer.
Oh, yes. How to skin and whatever.
So they show that. So then, are we getting, are we,
yes,
going,
no, we, okay, are. But one thing I forgot, and you can probably remember, how did she end up finally, after she finds her daughter dead, how does she end up overpowering Nick Stahl? Doesn't she give him a shot or something to knock him out or make him, I forget, there's something she does to overpower him so then she can tie him up inside their, like, barn.
You know what? I watched the movie.
I know, we watched it not that long ago. Okay, either way, the woman's pretty badass. She overpowers Nick Stahl, takes him into the barn where they skin animals, ties him up by the hands like they tie, like, animals up. And then, Tim, would you like to proceed to tell them?
Sure. So, like, what, she's following the directions her daughter gave her earlier to kill the deer, and she literally cuts off his skin, like, and the way they do it's very effective.
And
so
very,
I guess,
detailed.
Like, yeah, very detailed. And then, like, she cuts around his face. So it's like, so then she does this one good yank. You can't see what I'm doing. I'm like pulling out my own face. and then he's like, his eyeballs are there, and like the his whole, like, skeleton
rips his face off. I'm talking Leatherface Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
But his eyes are moving back and forth, which is really, really effective. And I'm like, okay, like, everything up to this point, I was kind of like, da ho hum. But once you see this guy's eyes turning back and forth, you're like, okay, this is why Hunter Hunter is succeeding.
Well, it's grisly,
it's
to use a bare, rugged word. Like, I mean, it is. I will say that if you have a weak stomach, you probably can't watch this, because they show in detail her literally, if you were skinning a human what you were doing to him. I mean, she like cuts around different areas, rips pieces of skin off, and like Tim was saying, the most graphic one was when she literally rips his face off. So
and
just
it doesn't
like,
look fake like Beetlejuice fake. You know what I mean? It looks good.
The face looks a little funny, but like the way they did it well. It's not CGI. Well, I mean, it doesn't look CGI-ish. It just looks
and
fucking
with the
gory.
Sound in him still like ah.
Yeah, and that's the worst part. He's alive during all of it and being totally tortured. Now, I'm not saying in any way he's a redeemable person. He's awful and a murderer.
Right.
I'm just saying seeing someone, anyone, be tortured that way is tough to watch. But it was definitely very effective.
We didn't fall asleep.
And when she finishes, as she's walking out, she's like traumatized, you know, because she found her husband dead, her daughter dead, and just skinned this murderer.
No, and that was really effective, like... Do the cops show up?
Yes, the cops start showing up.
She's like, they don't shoot her. She walks out.
No, she kind of just walks out and literally just like sits on the porch, almost like, yep, I did
it. My husband's gone. My daughter's gone. I ripped off his effing face.
And that's how it ends. And you don't know, like, well, is she going to be charged? And if so, like, because obviously anybody would feel sympathy or empathy for a woman who just had her daughter and husband murdered. But, like, who knows what's going to happen to her after what she did to this guy? Who knows? Was Nick Stahl even dead after he was skinned?
No, I think he was still alive.
Which is, like, worse. And,
like, I mean, but when we're talking alive, we're talking, like... Barely.
And it just like ends like that. It's a pretty shocking, gory ending.
I felt to myself, Merry Christmas.
I was like, you know what? This is a good way to celebrate
that. Did we watch it before Christmas or after?
I think it was before. No, I think it was after. Sorry, before New
Year's. So it's like bringing the new year with a ripped off face.
Exactly. Here's the thing. Like, I've been hearing a lot of hype about this. I don't know if I really liked it that much.
No,
is that
I
bad
mean,
to say?
No, you know what? I think the ending was effective. Do I think it's a like born classic? No.
I think a lot of people are going to like it. So in a way, part of me feels like I would recommend this to people because...
It's
I don't know.
Slow.
Well, the first two thirds of it are very slow, but I mean, I guess because of the twist, because of the shocking ending,
I wouldn't say it's shocking, but I will say it's satisfying.
Shocking in terms of how gory it is. Not shocking in terms of oh my god, it's a human killer and it's Nick Stahl. Like that's not that shocking. That's just a twist. Like, but I feel like it's the kind of movie that I don't know if you like The Revenant. Remember The
Did
Revenant with
that?
Leonardo DiCaprio fighting with the fucking bear?
I never saw it.
If you like gory, rugged types of movies, even though Revenant wasn't really horror, but like if you like that kind of stuff and you like...
Did he win Best Actor for that?
Yes, his first one after like being nominated a million times.
Well, he's not that talented.
Oh, you heard it here, everyone.
Kidding.
No. It's the kind of movie that I think some people are going to really like because it does... It's different than anything I've seen, but I just pure enjoyment. I didn't enjoy it that much. I found the first part of it really slow.
I find a movie that I can watch over and over and over is a successful movie, but but then again, I'm not the person that's like Godfather Part Two is the best thing since sliced bread. Like,
so
I'm not
would you
audience.
Recommend Hunter?
Once I'd say
just Hunter.
Just I mean, watch Hunter,
but only watch a Hunter.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a good movie, but it's not. A movie you'd want to watch over and over and over.
I would just say I found it to be effective, but I don't know if I necessarily liked it. And I think that, you know, it's an interesting movie to watch. But like I said, like I didn't enjoy it. I just thought it was effective. But that's better than like, you know, hey, it was a piece of crap. It definitely wasn't. Yeah, it was done well. It was acted well. It was written well.
Everyone did a great job.
It just wasn't my cup of tea, and that's okay. Yeah.
And you
that's
know
okay,
what?
I'm telling
and, you know,
myself.
You know, speaking of movies that are
a piece of crap.
Let's go to our next movie.
Tim, introduce our next movie for us, please.
Our next movie came out December 18th, 2020, starring Bruce Willis, who you might remember from a small film called Die Hard.
Very small. No one saw it.
Die Hard 2, Moonlighting.
Die Hard 3, Die Hard 4. I think there were like five Die Hards.
Die Hard 3 with a Vengeance.
die. I'm tired of dying so hard.
Mortal Thoughts 1991 yeah, with Demi Moore.
When are they going to do I'm Tired of Dying Hard?
Dying Hard.
What else did he do? Also, you may remember his penis from Color of Night.
Yeah, 1994.
You may remember, what else is Bruce Willis? I just feel like he's in every action movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger is in.
What was
the
Armageddon and his daughter was Liv Tyler?
Oh, yes. And he sacrificed himself. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, great. We just gave away the ending.
You know, if you haven't seen Armageddon, it's been a while. So this was, again, just like, well, Hunter Hunter, by the way, is only streaming, so it's not in.
We had to pay for that.
But Breach, we had to kind of search to find this one. It's considered a sci-fi thriller. And I got to be honest, like, I watched the trailer and it looked like an alien-ish sci-fi thriller. And I was like, with Bruce Willis, I'm like, what could go wrong, Tim?
I saw Bruce Willis poster too for Breach. And I thought, what was the other one that he did with Luke Perry had a small role in it? Something Five.
It was Beverly Hills 90210.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, no, Bruce Willis was great in that.
No, what was something...
with Luke Perry?
Luke Perry and Bruce Willis did a movie together in the summer of 1997.
Brokeback Mountain.
No! Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I have. In the summer of 97, wasn't that Armageddon?
No, that was 98.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Sci-fi?
It was sci-fi. It was a big sci-fi movie, and Luke Perry had a small role.
We will look it up and tell you, or if someone can tell us.
It was something with...
Write us at happyhorrortime@gmail.com and tell us what movies Tim's
Bruce
thinking of.
I thought Bruce Willis can't go wrong.
Well...
I thought this is going to be a fun alien movie to watch with Matt.
Yes. And so wasn't quite that.
No.
Gotta say.
We both fell asleep at one certain time.
And it was the afternoon.
It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
This isn't like, yeah. Let me just set the set. Let me set the setting, though. Let me set the table for this.
Yeah, set the table.
You know, basically Earth, it's the future. It's like 22 something. And apparently we've polluted our planet so much that it's inhabitable and they are... you know, building, or there's like an almost like a Noah's Ark type ship that's taking humans to a planet called New Earth, which, by the way, very creative.
Very creative.
Very creative name for it. But I was thinking when I first saw that, Tim, I was like, I don't even think we have 200 years left until this planet is...
That's being generous, because the way we're treating our planet...
Exactly. And this guy who I recognized from Riverdale, because yes, I do watch Riverdale. He played Moose in Riverdale. He was kind of like a hot bisexual guy in it.
Well, what's his real name?
His name is, I looked it up, Cody Kearsley. So he kind of like sneaks on the Ark ship that's going to New Earth with his girlfriend who's pregnant, who you find out is also the daughter of like the ship's captain.
By the way, absolutely gorgeous, and I was hoping she'd be the star of the movie.
No, she just gets put to sleep for most of it.
She gets put into a coma.
Well, not a
It's like a
cryogenic thing. But basically, right. I think they said it takes 6 months to get to New Earth.
And so the big controversy with her is her dad is Thomas Jane.
That's a controversy right there.
Well, and no, Thomas Jane, by the way, you know, remember
Hung
he was on Hung. Used to be hot. And you know what I want to say? I don't ever want to say that because someone might describe me like that, but I mean, I still look like Justin Hartley.
Well, yes, you'll always to Megan, you'll always look
Megan,
like Justin Hartley.
Blind Megan.
Yeah, I think Thomas Jane is, he's probably seen better days, but haven't we
I
all?
I don't know what's going on, but I...
He just, you know, looked like he's lived a little.
Yeah, oh my God, delete all this.
He's lived a little, no. Well, so Thomas Jane, Thomas Jane
has the gorgeous daughter,
plays the captain of the movie, and has a gorgeous daughter who is the guy from Riverdale's girlfriend. They sneak in, but so what you find out is that the majority of the people on board are going to be put in like to sleep, almost like Alien, where you know you don't age while you're sleeping, but a certain amount of the crew has to stay awake during the 6 months to like tend to you know the ship.
So he's a janitor along with Bruce Willis.
So the people that are staying awake is the guy from Riverdale. I don't want to keep saying the guy from Riverdale. His name's Noah in the movie, and Bruce Willis, and some other people. And
very not diverse cast at all.
No, definitely not. But like right away, it's just a bunch of dumb fucks on like the crew. Like we were even talking, they were just all like annoying.
They all talked like this,
and they were all like very, very kind of like toxic masculinity.
I know.
Just like hey,
macho. through level 10.
Matcha level 10, yeah. And and I think there were maybe two female crew members that were hanging with the
one
dudes.
One was a doctor, and I don't know what the other girl was, but she was pretty.
But she was pretty. Well, so basically, we get to the, like, when we get to, so basically, this little, like, worm thing sneaks in one of the crew
it's
members'
beers. It's
very
like Night of the Creeps, Jason Goes to Hell, this thing.
Poltergeist 2 with the tequila thing. Sneaks in, he drinks it, and he starts, like, having digestive problems.
The best looking guy in the movie gets killed first.
But here's the funniest part. So first you think he's just having digestive problems, then he literally just explodes.
So like the other guy gets like blood all over his face.
But you don't see it. He's just like, suddenly his like stomach starts or whatever, and then you just see an explosion. Literally his entire body explodes.
Do you know what it kind of reminded me of? The setup of, do you remember the much better build up movie? And it, but it took place underwater. It was called Leviathan.
No, or, I thought you were going to say the movie either Underwater with Kristen Stewart or The Abyss.
No, it actually is like, and even Deep Star 6. Do you remember Deep Star 6?
I didn't see that either, but did you see The Abyss?
I'm not interested.
I like, see, we're talking about the exact same type of movie, just different movies.
No, The Abyss has like, has what's his name, directed by James Cameron.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, so it's like quality. These are
shit.
Like Deep Star 6 was directed by Sean S. Cunningham of Friday 13th.
Oh, I have not.
Leviathan, I don't know who that was directed by.
I've never heard of Leviathan. That sounds
what?
Like a medication
it stars
that
Peter
I should
Weller.
Be taking. And I have heard of Deep Star 6. Probably
anyway,
because of Sean Cunningham.
They have like people on the like a spaceship or underwater. Like it has the same setup, but this is not. These movies were made in 89 and both of them were. They came out the same year, underwater movies. Anyway, this should have been better than both of these movies combined.
Well, as soon as the guy blows up, whatever the worm was, or I don't even know. It basically it infects the other guy, and when you're infected by this like creature, you become this like almost like zombie type demon. Is that the best way to describe it?
I just thought it looked like Walking Dead.
It really just suddenly the movie, which Tim's right, there was barely any buildup. Like for instance, a movie that I would say has the longest buildup, but is like top quality. The original Alien, you know, Ridley Scott's Alien from 76. Truthfully, by today's standards, you'd probably think that that's slow because it takes a long time for something to happen, but it's so good.
Yeah,
and this is the opposite.
Looks, it makes this movie. I swear they use the same hallway. Bruce Willis is just walking around talking like this.
Well, here's the thing. So most of the characters are annoying. When the aliens start like spreading, suddenly like one of the guys who's infected like kills the one of the only women and like brutally like just bashes her head into the ship over and over. But here's the thing, just like with zombies and why Tim probably said Walking Dead, no one's ever dead or they're dead, but they come back to life as the alien, zombie, demon, whatever.
Breach!
Yeah, well, more and more people start getting infected. And literally, it gets to the point where it's like the guy, Noah and Bruce Willis that are like trying to fight off all these people. But one thing Tim and I were talking about is that Bruce Willis, I get it. You know, you've been in a million movies. You don't have to try that hard anymore. But literally, he is never nervous in this movie, never scared, cracking jokes
he's
the whole way.
He's seen it all.
He's taking his sweet time, laughing, smoking cigars, no comprehension that there's, you know, or doesn't care that there's zombies, aliens infecting everyone on board.
And in the lead guy for the Riverdale guy, Noah, oh my goodness, he mumbles his lines.
Yeah, it's really hard
like,
to understand.
What did he say?
We turned on subtitles because he was mumbling a lot of his lines, but like, he's basically the star other than Bruce Willis, but basically to get the minuscule plot to move it along, they find out one of the guys in the crew actually brought the alien on purposely because they talk about
like,
there's some
movement.
And
you know, when that was revealed, I was like, who cares?
Well, there's some move. They reveal there's some movement of people that don't want New Earth to be inhabited, and so they're trying to kill everyone before they get there. And he then feels bad for blah blah blah.
Yeah, his monologue. Like, I was like, I'm so moved.
Well, I think it wasn't even feeling bad about killing everyone. It was like I didn't think it would be this brutal.
Like,
oh, thanks.
I just want to know what what was the director or writer like? If they were going for like this is a 1950s sci-fi. then good job. Like, well, you made something low budget and fun, and Bruce Willis is in it.
But was it low budget? Like, it makes me think that maybe it, like, I mean,
did Bruce Willis get everything?
I mean, like, I'm wondering, like, I'm seeing if what the budget was, but
you'll never, I looked.
Yeah, it didn't do it. But either way, just to move it along. Basically, the main guy, Noah, he wants to get his girlfriend out of the cryogenic thing because basically the aliens are starting to take over, like, more and more people, and they're realizing, like, they're not going to be able to survive. So they start waking people up. They wake up the captain. They wake up his girlfriend. Thomas Jane sacrifices himself, blows himself up to blow up the aliens. But then, in probably the cheesiest part of it, like, alien parts, they all come together to form this, like, super alien, but it has Thomas Jane's face on it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know whose face it was. I mean, I want to say it's his, but I mean, who's to know?
And it looks like a really bad CGI'd alien.
Oh,
remember,
it
almost looked cartoonish.
It makes the thing look like the best film ever made.
Thanks for reminding me, because that's what I told him. I was like, this is like a really bad version of the thing, because these aliens, they're like shapeshifter-ish. They can become the humans, but then they shift into this big thing. But it's like, even the thing, and that came out in the 80s, you forgave it for not having the best graphics, but this came out in 2020.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay, you have a spaceship. You have Bruce Willis.
The what else title, do you need?
The title is terrible. Breach.
Well, I guess they breached the... I mean, yeah, I know.
It's terrible. They might as well just call it Bleach.
That was actually the second title.
Or Bitch.
They were going to have... Bitch. But I think Bruce Willis wanted it called Bitch. No. You know, so anyway, they're getting to the point where everybody's getting killed, and finally... Noah and his girlfriend get into an escape pod, and of course,
and she's pregnant, by the way.
Yes. And of course, because Bruce Willis can't survive, he just has to have his, like, final funny crack. He's in the ship,
oh my
and
gosh.
He's gonna stay.
Can we just talk about his like, his one-liners at the end? They're all like, motherfucker.
Oh, well, I was gonna say how he is gonna blow up the entire ship, which, remember, we were like, wait, isn't there 300,000 people on there?
Yeah.
So literally, I guess he figures the aliens are gonna take over everyone, and literally only Noah and his girlfriend got out on an escape pod. But of course, Bruce Willis stays behind, just like he did in Armageddon. But before he blows the ship off, he's cracking one-liners.
Oh my gosh.
He's just never bothered by anything.
He is like, I mean, I guess he knows what we know is that this movie's a big turn.
I also think, I feel bad saying this, but do you feel like he's constantly trying to recreate his character in Die Hard?
I think that's what he's known for. So, of course, like, that's probably why he was hired.
But he's
65. 62.
And
I
get that people like Bruce Willis for that, but it's like, Die Hard was amazing. I love Die Hard, but you can't keep being John McClane. Like, he was John McClane on the ship. Didn't you feel like that? Like, because, but even John McClane, I felt like there were times in Die Hard when he's bothered and scared.
I think Bruce Willis is a diverse, very good actor, but like, if this, he, it just seems like
you?
Everyone, yeah, I do. I really do.
I don't know if I've seen him in enough that I would be able to say that.
Well, I mean,
wouldn't say he wasn't, but I don't know if I could say the same.
I mean, it's not like he's going to be playing like a homosexual, but I'm just saying, like, I think we know why he was hired. We know what this movie was supposed to be, but I guess I'm disappointed, because what I thought I was going to get, it just looks so cheaper than TV shows.
I thought it was going to at least be like suspenseful. It wasn't. I thought there was going to be like a cool
ounce
alien,
of originality.
There wasn't. But basically, to get to the very end, so, you know, Bruce Willis blows himself and the entire ship off, and Noah and his girlfriend, they get the escape pod, they shoot down to New Earth. And of course, you know, they get there, and it was supposed to already be inhabited by humans, and they see what they think is a human being far off, and then it starts running at them, and it's obviously been infected also, which means the entire New Earth planet is probably infected by these demons. And Noah and his girlfriend have guns, and they just are, right before they shoot them, what do they say, Tim?
Burn them all!
And you're just thinking, and then it ends, and all I'm thinking is, so... they're on a new planet where probably everybody's infected. They're just going to shoot everyone and then live there themselves. Is that really going to work
out?
No,
it was not a happy ending. And you know what? I know how hard it is to make a movie. I mean, I'm not saying I've made many. I'm just saying, like, I know that, like, it's time and meetings and pre-production and post-production. So good job, everyone, for making the movie. But I mean...
But I feel like you could probably say that to, like, anyone who's
made a
movie.
But this movie had all the ingredients.
Yeah.
And, like, almost like, what is this?
That's a great way of explaining it. It had all the ingredients, but it's still fucked up. Like no, but it did, because here's the thing. Like, Bruce Willis is most filmmakers' dream. Most action filmmakers.
Yeah, you, dream. I was like, you got the best.
You have Bruce Willis. You have a sci-fi-ish plot. But yeah, it did feel. It felt like it was trying to do various parts of The Thing and Alien and Walking Dead and not succeeding.
Did I read that it only had 3 weeks to be made?
I would definitely think that was possible.
But what I saw, maybe even an hour.
An hour? It took an hour. Well, no, it just didn't, again, like, I don't think it was written well. Like, again, none of the characters were likable. Like, or maybe, like, even the main guy and his girlfriend, like Tim said, the girlfriend's cryogenically frozen for most of it, so you don't get to really know her. And
she
the
was
other-
the most interesting character. I felt like she had the most range. Like, the all the guys were like, macho and just like, man,
hey bitch, what you doing? and the main guy who's sort of empathetic, yeah, it was tough because he said he was mumbling his lines so much it was tough to even know.
They tried to make him sympathetic because he was a janitor.
Well, but I think he snuck on, like, he wasn't even supposed to be on there. But I think you're supposed to feel for them because it's like, oh, he has a pregnant girlfriend, they're gonna give him a new life on new earth. But again, it's like, also, even the setup, the whole idea of, like, the planet, a new planet be inhabited. Number one, they've done it before, but number two, people have done it before better.
Yeah, that's what
way
I mean.
Better.
I'm talking like Alien looks brilliant. Deep Star 6 and Leviathan, awesome. This movie, no.
And that's how I think we would say it. I think that's it, sums it up pretty well. Like, it is a big no. I would definitely not waste your money on Breach.
Skip it.
I would say Hunter, if you've heard what we've said after spoiling it, if you're interested, especially for that ending scene, I think it's definitely something different.
I find something in every movie I like. Breach, I just felt like I wanted to love it.
I had a feeling, well, unfortunately, when I was looking up for movies to do, Tim, like, I saw that it was rated really badly in Rotten Tomatoes, but I was like, doesn't matter. I don't always agree with Rotten Tomatoes. I'm agreeing with Rotten
Me
Tomatoes.
Me too. Bruce Willis and Aliens.
But here's the thing we were talking about is, was this supposed to have a theatrical release? Because literally no marketing was done for it. Like, I had to find this movie. I didn't know what came out.
It's playing at drive-ins and it's made $25,000.
Oh my God.
So I don't know if it will ever get its money back, or maybe everyone's checks have cleared. Good job.
Wow. I mean, here's the thing. I feel like there's a lot of good horror leading up to the beginning of December, and then, like, the back half of December, there wasn't a lot of new stuff coming out. You know, granted, holidays.
So this was obviously made before the pandemic.
I would assume so. In the three weeks they took to make it. I mean, and Hunter could have easily been made during the pandemic because there's like five people in it.
Yeah, and they're always far away. In the woods, they're outside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, I would say Hunter. I think would appeal to more people. Breach, even if you like sci-fi, please watch The Thing.
Even if you like Bruce Willis,
yes, watch Die Hard, Die Hard 2, and every Die Hard. But don't waste your time on this one.
Because
you know
what will happen if you do watch this? You'll die hard.
And I think we should end with that, Tim.
All right. Have a
because
great
we don't
night.
Get many one-liners like that out of Tim. It is a dime a dozen.
You know what? I'm not Bruce Willis.
You are not. You know what? Breach.
Breach.
That's all I have to say. Hunter, Breach.
You're a total breach.
Total breach. Okay, thanks, everyone.
Have a great night.
We'll see you later. No, we won't see him. What am I saying? God, I'm so used to saying
it's
that.
It's a visual medium.
I know it isn't. Not podcast. We'll
you
hopefully.
Know what? Feedback us. Feedback us?
Feedback us. No,
we like feedback. Tell
we
us.
Like feedback. Do you know there was a good song by Janet Jackson?
If I was a total bitch in this episode, let me know.
There's a song by Janet Jackson called Feedback. Very good. Very good. Anyway,
who's
okay.
Janet Jackson?
Have a great night. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Okay, bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Matt Emmer and myself, Tim Murdoch. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other platforms, including Happy TV, a free streaming app with content dedicated to the LGBTQ+ community.
If you'd like to stay updated on our developments, please like and follow the Happy Horror Time podcast page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And don't hesitate to send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think of the podcast, any movie recommendations, or any horror stars you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime and sign up to be a patron. You'll gain access to additional content, including the bonus episode we just released last month. We're planning on releasing one new bonus episode every month moving forward.
But before we go, Tim, we'd like to recommend Totally 80s Room on YouTube and Instagram. Not only does this page post the coolest clips from 80s pop culture, but the creator assembled his own 80s era museum filled with retro products and all kinds of fun nostalgia.
Anyone who's experienced the 80s has to check out the Totally 80s Room.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.